Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining me for today's weekly update. I have a number of items to cover today. A very important and exciting announcement including in that. I'm pleased to be joined by Director A.J. Geary, first of all, who's been working very hard the last couple days with his team. I wanted to thank his emergency management folks that have been responding to the tornado. We have Secretary Gillespie of Department of Human Services, along with Director Melissa Stone. We have Secretary Johnny Key here, and of course, we have Secretary Jose Romero, and I see Senator Keith Ingram, and thank you for joining us, Senator, today as well. First, let me make a comment on the storm damage, which I have witnessed personally. I wanted to give you an update. I'm pleased to say that FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, will be deploying two teams tomorrow beginning at 8 a.m. in the impacted areas to assess damages. At this time, we can report that we have a total of 307 structures that were impacted, including 61 totally destroyed, 82 with major damage, 121 with minor damage, and another 44 affected in some way. There's also agricultural damage to cotton gins, rice company damage as well. We have we had over 12,000 with power outages. That number is down to approximately 1,200 this morning. So the Entergy, electric cooperatives, and others are making enormous progress in restoring power. I want to express my continued concern. Director Geary is working on this every day, and his team. If there's anything that is needed, we're there to respond to that. We have shelters in place. We have our voluntary organizations that are working with the needs of people, but it's certainly a devastated area in terms of property loss, as well as two losses of life. And now, let me move on to another topic, and this is really a follow-up discussion that Senator Ingram and I and some other legislators had during the most recent special session of the legislature. And I assured Senator Ingram that the developmentally disabled waiting list is a great concern to us. We have a commitment and a plan to address that. We've been working on this, Secretary Gillespie and Director Stone, for many months, and today we're prepared to advise as to specifically how we're going to tackle this challenge. Let me give a little background first. Our Medicaid waiver provides services to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The waiver serves more than 5,000 Arkansans, but for many years there have been a significant waiting list of thousands of Arkansans waiting for a waiver slot to be opened for them. My administration has not ignored this problem. We have added 1,200 additional slots to serve more clients in the preceding years. We have addressed it. That gives people hope, and more people go onto the list. But there's still many that have been on that list for way, way too long. As of December 1 of this year, there were 3,204 individuals on the waiting list waiting for services. Of these, 1,861 clients have incomes that are low enough that they do qualify for Medicaid services. They are getting some services, but the remainder are receiving no services at all. Today, I'm announcing a plan to provide services to everyone that is currently on the waiting list. And let me talk about how we can address this. First of all, I am asking today, submitting a waiver request through our DHS partners to the federal government to allow us to have 200 additional slots. Now, this costs money. And so those 200 additional slots that will go into place now will be funded through our existing revenue. A few years back, we took some of the revenue from our passes that were created for a revenue stream for our developmentally disabled list. And through that funding, we're able to increase 200 slots and pay for 200 slots so that 200 on the waiting list will get the services they've been waiting so long for. In terms of the future, I'll be asking the General Assembly to add $37.6 million additional funding to create more slots so that everyone who is currently on the list will be served by June of 2025. How are we going to do this? Whenever I submitted our balanced budget proposal in the 2021 session, we provided additional $60 million of funding for DHS. So we're setting aside $37.6 million of that $60 million in additional funding to reduce the developmentally disabled waiting list. And so the funding is in place. It simply takes some language that will be added to the budget so that that can be used for this purpose. And with the legislative support, I expect that that will be supported and will be a part of the legislative action this next session. Once approved in terms of that funding, then DHS will submit a request to amend the current waiver to progressively add enough slots over the next 3 years to serve everyone who is currently on the waiting list as of today. And again, that represents thousands of Arkansans. It gives them hope. It gives a specific plan as to how to address this great need that we have meet the needs of our most vulnerable citizens. And so I'm very pleased with that news today, and I would invite Director Melissa Stone, if you would come and make your comments, and then we'll go to our COVID report. But I wanted you to speak to this issue as well, who's worked very hard on this.
Thank you so much, Governor. I think I speak for both Secretary Gillespie and I and the rest of the team at DHS that this is a really exciting day for us. It's something that we have worked on for a very long time. We're very thankful to the governor. Since he has been in office, with this announcement today, he has doubled the amount of people that are served on this waiver since 2015. People have waited a very long time. And because of this announcement, we are able now to move quickly to get them the services they need to stay in their home and in the community. The services on these waivers change people's lives. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos that we've put out in the past, but it's really hard to explain how much help these services can be for a family that have a loved one with an intellectual disability. And so today, I hope that everyone watching, just this renews their hope that they will receive services they've been waiting on. The thing that we have to continue to work on today, and that the governor has made a commitment by writing a letter to HHS, is we have to continue working on expanding our network of providers who provide direct support to people with developmental disabilities. We are doing two efforts to try to expand that network right now. One is asking CMS today, when we submit the requests for the 200 slots, to allow a training component in lieu of experience that is now a requirement that staff have to come in with 1 year experience. We believe that we can safely train these support professionals on site and put them to work, and that will open up our job opportunities for these direct support professionals. And two, we have asked through an American Rescue Act funding plan for CMS to allow us to do an initial infusement of $87 million into these home and community-based providers to help stabilize their workforce and allow them to use the funding for recruitment and retention and training. And so again, we are so thankful for the governor for noting these two items in the letter to HHS that'll go today and encouraging them to please approve these things. So again, thank you so much. It's a very exciting day.
Thank you, Director Stone. And Senator Ingram, I know I didn't give you much note. Would you like to address this issue? You're good. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Ingram. Now let me go to today's COVID report. If you put up the first slide, we'll see that we've had 782 new cases, which is down from a week ago, which is a multiple consecutive days that we have been down from the previous week. Active cases are down 65, regrettably 15 new deaths. The next one, another bit of good news is the vaccines have been given out. 15,000 vaccines have been distributed in the last 24 hours. That increases those have been fully immunized by almost 3,000. We continue to make progress. This is great news. Next, hospital data, increase of 8 and minus 1 on ventilators. Next, we'll see, and this is 1 year ago today, we had first access in Arkansas to the vaccine. And so we're looking back and comparing our numbers. And so this is the number of currently hospitalized year by year. The red line is last year. You can see on the red line that we had 1,050 hospitalized this same time last year as a result of COVID. This year we're at 518. Obviously, we're going the wrong direction now. If we keep our cases down, that will decline. Next is a comparison on a number of different data points on new cases. A year ago, we had 1,355 new cases. Today, 782. Active cases, we had 20,000. We have 13,000 fewer active cases. Deaths reported, you can see the difference. Hospital admissions, that is the most critical measuring stick that we can have. A year ago, we had 1,050. That's when I created the Winter COVID Task Force. It's been very instrumental in managing those that have been in the hospital and needing care. But today, we're at 518. Hospitals are still crowded, but it's easier to manage 518 than it is 1,050. Those on ventilator, you can see the difference as well. This is encouraging as well. If you look at the eligible residents of Arkansas for vaccination, that's 5+ years of age. We're now have right at 64% either fully or partially vaccinated. Those numbers continue to be encouraged with 52% fully vaccinated. Next, a consistent reminder that if you look at the data, 85% of the new cases are not vaccinated. 87% of the hospitalizations not vaccinated. 85% of the deaths not vaccinated. Obviously, you look back over the last year and the deaths we've had, we just wish a greater percent had been vaccinated. And so in the first year of our vaccination program, 3.6 million doses, 1.8 million Arkansans. Much more work to do, but that's a progress report over the last year. And with that, let me ask Secretary Romero for his comments.
Thank you, Governor. So we have rolled out the vaccine, and the vaccine progress in immunization has been shown. I want to point out that comparison between the 2 years, that is from the start of the pandemic to this, to the point where we began our immunizations and had active numbers immunized, we have approximately 2,700 less deaths this year. However, today, this last year, we've had 3,045 deaths. if we take into consideration that conservatively 70 to 80% of those deaths could have been prevented if they were vaccinated, we need to get our population fully vaccinated. So I want to encourage everyone to take the vaccine. It is safe and effective. It is the best way to prevent deaths. I also want to point out that with the holidays coming up, I want to take this moment to talk about getting together safely. So again, make sure that your family members are all immunized, that if you do have a gathering, it is with individuals that are immunized, you maintain adequate ventilation, that those individuals that have not been vaccinated avoid getting together with large numbers of individuals that have not had their vaccine, and get tested. If you have any symptoms, please get tested either with a home kit or with one of the tests that are available through our local health units or through a healthcare facility near you. Thank you very much.
With that, we'll turn over questions, and I do have Director A.J. Gary. If there's anything in reference to the storm damage, we got Secretary Key. I didn't give him the microphone today because he only has great news to report in terms of the schools, but we are available for any questions. So with that, I'll turn it open.
With the Omicron and the holidays coming up and the flu, are you concerned that we will have issues with hospital capacity this winter?
I'm confident we'll have the hospital capacity in the near term, and I think with our vaccination rate, those numbers will continue to flatten. There's always a concern. When you look at the trend across the United States, you see the trend upward in terms of cases, whether it's the Northeast that's highly vaccinated, they're still having an increase in cases. And so we're very fortunate where we are right now. And it's hard to measure simply by the new cases because we have home testing. We don't have all of the data points in terms of new cases that are out there. The most accurate measuring stick is the hospitalizations. And so, and that's what we watch very carefully, but it's manageable now. And if we can keep our cases down, then it should continue to be manageable. But the key again is fully vaccinated, get your booster shot. Get your booster shot because that's the best protection against, a serious consequence from the coronavirus. Dr. Romero, did you want to add to that?
Are you tracking booster shot data at all? I know that it's right now kind of enveloped into shots in general, but, you know, keeping that protection up of antibodies, are you tracking who gets a booster, who doesn't?
Yes. And so each day we know of the 12,000 new doses, what percent of those are first shot, second shots, third shot. So we do have that breakdown, and that can be by whatever category you wish. But we do monitor that. For example, the elderly 65 plus, are they getting their booster shots? I think we showed that a couple weeks ago that we really need to increase those booster shots. So we are monitoring that, and that's one of the reasons Dr. Romero, Department of Health, is really pushing the access at every level to getting the second shot fully vaccinated and the booster shot.
How long have you been working on this plan on the DD wait list? I mean, there are a lot of people, or a fair number of disability advocates who are testifying that they were opposed to the tax cut because of the DD waiting list. I mean, how long has this been in the works?
Well, it's been in the works probably 6 months or more, if you really, in terms of specific plan to that we've announced today. But if you look back, we started this plan whenever we added 1,200 slots, whenever we provided a funding source for the first time to help reduce that list that allowed us to pay for 200 new slots today. And so this has been a matter of constant emphasis by me and my administration and by Secretary Gillespie. So we have worked on this really from day one. It's just now we are in a position to look forward and say we can even do better with the $60 million that's been added to the DHS budget. We are in a position that we can take 37.6 of that to over time completely reduce the existing list. And so this, as Melissa said, is very exciting, but it's something that we've worked on for some time. And, you know, I appreciate Senator Ingram because he asked me, and he said, is there a plan? And I said, yes, and that gave him confidence about, you know, what we're doing. And so I hope that all the groups out there know that our door is open, and if they want to know, we're available because we are working on this, and we care just as much about the developmentally disabled as those who are advocating for them. And so we are, and we have been planning on it for some time. Secretary Gillespie, do you want to add to that any?
The only comment
Oh, come on, you got to come to the microphone.
The only comment I would make would be, as the governor said, we've been working on this since he took office, but we have also been working on how to actually achieve this with real dollars, and we began to see in the summer that it might be possible. And it was in the early fall, as we were looking at the SFY23 budget, we realized we had the opportunity to potentially take that funding, and actually that's supposed to come in this next session, and shift it to this purpose. So we worked with DFNA, and then we presented to the governor, and we've been working our way then through details. So it's been in the works, as he said, for several months.
Is this money freed up because you're getting a higher match from the federal government?
It's it started from that, but it's also been freed up partly around utilization, and it's also funding that we've had coming because of the passes and the revenues from there. So multiple factors have led us to get to this point.
Increase.
Let me just add to that, though, because she said utilization, which to me means that we're saving from our past program and other means that gives us comfort level to use this for the developmentally disabled.
Is the increased public health emergency matching, is that going to continue next year?
At this stage, the public health emergency has been extended by the federal government through the end of March. They have not yet said whether it will extend past that date.
I know you said about 300 buildings were damaged in the storm. Do you have any cost estimate for how much damage?
That's what the FEMA two teams will be doing, making those cost estimates along with our team. And so to meet the federal threshold for disaster declaration and federal assistance, it has to be, with our population, somewhere between $4 and $5 million. I believe that, and those have to be uninsured losses. And so even though a home is destroyed, if it's insured, it doesn't count against that loss. But with the many of these are low-income homes, I'm afraid many are uninsured or partly not covered. And so I believe we will be able to meet that threshold, but time will tell.
And I know that I was in Monett yesterday, and some buildings around there are still damaged from tornadoes in the past few years. What is being done to make sure that relief and rebuilding gets to, you know, some of those homes who might not be insured? Do you need that federal assistance? Like, does it need to cross that threshold, if that makes sense?
Yes, and so it has to meet that threshold for this storm. We can't count past storms, right, obviously, but it has to meet that threshold or we don't get any support for this disaster assistance from the federal government. AJ, do you have anything to add to that?
Thanks, Governor, and absolutely correct on the federal. Arkansas is lucky that we do have a state disaster program. So we have individual assistance and public assistance that pretty well mirrors the FEMA program. So if we don't meet that threshold for federal, we very well probably will meet the threshold that we have for our state program. And thanks to governor and legislators, this last session, there was an additional $3 million put in that state program for mitigation. So that can be utilized, and we'll be looking at that also. So even if we don't meet the federal, we have some state resources that we could possibly use.
Is there a threshold for those state resources?
They're at the county level. I would have to get that to you. I don't have it right here with me. But it is lower than what the federal is, and that's why that state program is in place.
Let's go remotely. Is there any questions from the audience?
Hi, Governor. This is Imani Williams at KAIT. They kind of touched on the questions I was going to ask, but just to clarify, you all are looking at federal funding first, and then if you don't meet that threshold, then you will look to state funding to help with those damages.
That's correct. And obviously, we're putting state funding in right now. I've authorized funding for emergency response, other emergency needs. So we're putting state money in up front. But we'd like to be able, if there is that damage, I've talked to the president, we believe we'll meet that threshold. But if we do, then we'll get federal assistance. And that's the most support that we can get for the individual homeowners that have had uninsured loss. And then, as Director Gary has said, we also have some state money that we can put in there if we do not get that federal assistance. Any other question?
Is there a timeline on when we'll know if we've reached that threshold for federal assistance?
It takes time. The damage assessment takes time. We submit that to FEMA. They review that. They might ask for more information. And even with that, though, the president has said he will try to cut through the red tape, but it does take some time from past experience. AJ, do you have anything to add to that?
No, just move it as quickly as we can. That's why we have to be up here for
some more. Is it more weeks, months? Like, is there a general expectation?
Generally months, but we hope that we'll be able to put it in the form of weeks with, we know, the challenges that the homeowners face. Anything else? With that, thank you very much for allowing us to make these announcements. And if you have additional questions, my cabinet and administration and Senator Ingram will be available. Thank you.